This is a CNA podcast.
Why is it that every time Singles Day come around, people tend to buy record number of things?
We're expecting a new record this Singles Day here in Singapore. And that's because we have much, much more buyers who have come online and many, many more brands and retailers who are joining the celebration as well.
Events like Singles Day, Christmas Day, or New Year, they give people a reason to buy. It gives them a justification to buy whatever they want. And you see people purchasing in large amount.
As more people turn to the comfort of online shopping in the pandemic year, Singles Day sales topped records last year. In just 35 minutes, Lazada's 11.11 sales figures smashed numbers that took 2 hours to reach in 2019. Shopee sold 200 million items, up 3 times from 70 million. Now, consultancy Bain, in a study with Facebook, forecasted that Southeast Asia will have 310 million people shopping online by 2025. This was just 2 years back. Thanks to COVID-19, this milestone was reached at the end of 2020. Yet this massive shopping extravaganza of 11.11 this year is coming the week of COP26, the biggest climate conference on the global calendar. Does it all just feel a little odd in our sink? How do such staggering online shopping figures square with a growing consciousness over sustainability and rising concerns over wasteful consumption? Can we lay off the non-stop buying? And can packaging be cut when customers seem to demand refunds with the slightest dent? We asked our Instagram followers how many were willing to cut down on online shopping. Stay tuned to the end of the podcast to find out how many raised their hands. Welcome to Heart of the Matter. It's Monday, November 8th, and I'm Lin Su Ling. Now, today we have two guests who will discuss Singles Day, the growth of e-commerce and its environmental implications with us. The first is Lazada's Group Chief Business Officer, James Cheng, who's managed operational and corporate strategy for the group across Southeast Asia since 2012. And our second guest is Sharon Ng, Professor and Head of the Marketing Division at NTU Nanyang Business School, who wrote a commentary published on CNA.Asia on why we feel such a rush when we add items to our online shopping cart. Welcome both.
Good afternoon.
Now, James, my first question is to you. E-commerce has grown massively with 2020 when people were stuck at home with COVID restrictions, a bumper year. Do you expect online shopping to continue growing at this breakneck pace and why?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've seen it expedite the kind of adoption of e-commerce, but it happened in kind of two fronts. One is from the buyer side. Many people have joined shopping digitally online. And we know that when first consumers start to make purchases, they tend to make a smaller basket size. And as they build up their trust, as they go through different areas of the e-commerce and discover new things, they increase their categories that they shop online and they increase the size of the ticket items. So from that perspective, these buyers that we've seen coming online are going to go through a growth trajectory, which will continue to propel the growth of e-commerce. Second, most important, which is much more lasting effect, is many entrepreneurs, brands, retailers came online. We've seen that speed about 4 times the size of 2019. And these brands and sellers are absolutely here to stay. So with that richness in the supply and then the growing buyer base, we do believe the growth will continue.
Sharon, then we know also, however, that the key reason why growth in e-commerce happen is because of flash sales like 11.11, 10.10, 9.9. And 11.11 sales in Singapore just keep topping records every year, suggesting that they seem to be a winning strategy. Are they working according to you? And will this intense consumer interest peter out once bigger groups can go out as COVID restrictions lift?
The sales is always the default move for marketers under pressure to deliver immediate revenue. If you see the sales volume keep going up, it shows that the promotions are actually working. But over time, you do see that consumers do feel promotion fatigue. And it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It just means that you need deeper promotions. You need more compelling promotions to get consumers to continue to stay on the platform.
But online shopping has also been called by some as a guilty pleasure because it's convenient, it's low cost, it brings a thrill when you score a bargain and it reaches your home. But do such indulgences come at a cost, Sharon? Is there a price you see us paying in this surge in online shopping?
Oh, definitely. Environmental cost is being one. One of the biggest issues with sustainability, getting the whole society, the world to be more sustainable is to actually to reduce consumption. But with the increasing promotions, with a lot of the deals and our hedonic consumption in general, propel us to buy things that we might not need or we might not actually want, we just buy it because it's on sales. And I think as a whole, this is actually not a very good news for us or for the world that we live in. But at the same time, it is human behavior. We buy things to make ourselves feel good.
Put a pin in sustainability, we'll come back to that. But my first other question to you, James, is the challenge with online shopping, while it's very convenient and offers so many benefits, sometimes it's not really so simple as a click, buy, and live happily ever after. There's so many logistical challenges requiring human eyes and effort when clothes don't fit, items aren't as they seem on the listing, and people complain about purchases that don't arrive on time. Now, these are challenges that won't happen if these are bought directly from a physical store. So can they be squared away so easily without adding costs to the platform business?
Yes, absolutely. So one thing we notice for sure is the consumer's expectation is continued to rise. When we started Lazada back in 2012, where e-commerce was quite nascent, it's a very different expectation than today, where you can get things even on the same day on instant delivery. So from a service level perspective, the quality perspective, and also as competitions continue to evolve and continue to upgrade the services, we do see the overall industry service level going up. Now, one of the key things is we try to provide as much information as possible. For us, transparency is quite important. So for those customers who's willing to wait a little bit longer, but be able to get slightly more discount, is able to do that. And for those customers who wants a very fast delivery, express deliveries, want things right away, is able to offer that as well. So having that variety of service level, as well as the transparency to the buyers so that buyers can make informed choice, we believe is the right way to go forward.
Kind of sounds like what's happening here is that online shopping platforms are simply replacing big department stores like Robinsons, John Little, and all these other names that have shuttered. So tell me again, what special value do e-commerce platforms really offer apart from an optimized site to order things from our phones?
We must understand the e-commerce platforms are powered by the department stores, the retailers, the brands, and the sellers and SMEs, those that are part of our overall retail ecosystem. Even Robinsons, for that matter, were part of our key partners. It was very unfortunate to see them close down. We still work with other department stores, such as Metro, as well as some of the retailers like the Watsons, as well as the Marks & Spencer as well. So they're part of the very key ecosystem. What online does is it just gives the consumers the convenience to be able to browse and discover products much more beyond that they're able to do on a physical shopping journey. At the same time, be able to quite easily compare prices and gain more information and insight about the products at the convenience of home. This combination gives a lot of abilities for many brands and many other retailers, as well as the whole diversity of the supply to be able to be showcased to the right consumers in coupling with algorithms that's able to make that matchmaking.
Sharon, so in recent years, we know there's a steadily growing awareness of sustainability and how excessive consumerism can hurt the planet. Younger consumers specifically are more conscious and they're asking about the green credentials, the stores that they buy. So our question to you is, how serious are young consumers to really putting their money to buy better and more sustainably? Because many would profess to support Greta Thunberg and claim to support all these businesses that protect the environment, but the majority will still continue to follow the likes of Kylie Jenner and go on to like that post of a new bag and shop online. What are you seeing here?
For the young consumers, at least based on our research and based on our studies, they do have a more elevated awareness of the environmental problem, and they are more willing to put the money where their belief is compared to older consumers. That said, there is still the human aspect of it, which is that although we are willing to pay a little bit more, at least the younger generations are willing to pay a little bit more for products that are green, our studies show that there's a certain price point where people will still not be willing to pay way more, basically, for the green products.
What's that price point?
About 10%, 15% is probably the highest it can go. Beyond that, they will still revert back to whatever price point they're more comfortable with or the products they're more comfortable with. There is a little bit of tension between this desire to protect the environment and my personal needs, my financial considerations, and my desire to own something, to show people that I'm cool, to show people that I am fashionable. And that tension is still playing out, even for the younger consumers.
James, are you seeing any notable trends from Lazada's users that suggest environmental considerations around what they buy are here to stay? And what's your advice to retailers trying to sell on e-commerce platforms like yours?
We've seen an increase in the voice of sustainability and environmental friendliness, both from a buyer, but actually stronger voice from the supply side, from the brands, especially the global brand side. From a buyer perspective, one of the key things that we hear are concerns on the amount of plastic that's been used in packaging. So for the business that we have, for example, in Singapore, we also operate Redmart as part of our business. And in Redmart, we are aiming to reduce and also to some point eliminate the use of single-use plastic. So we already switch a lot of the paper bags inside the fulfillment center alone. We don't use a disposable plastic bags. And also even the boxes that we use, we have an SOP to use up to 3 times. We collect the boxes back as we deliver the products. So this is some of the efforts that we're doing. But on the supply side, we've seen many global brands, you know, we partner with L'Oreal, for example, we partner with Unilever to kind of push forward in terms of both awareness as well as the sustainable agenda to the consumers from both a sustainably sourced products, sustainably packaged products, as well as, you know, how to have a circular economy. So these efforts are ongoing. I do believe that there's more to be done from both buyers, platforms such as ourselves, as well as the brands, to be able to contribute more to it. It is an ongoing effort and it's been increasing efforts as well.
James, we know that people complain about plastic and packaging, but are you seeing any trend to say that they would not make a purchase because of plastic packaging? Are you seeing any trends that tell you this is actually a key decision consideration? Or is it something that consumers simply complain about?
It's hard for us to see from the data that we have in terms of the feedback that we're receiving from the consumers of seeing that kind of a trend and what's the value of that. But one thing for sure, we do know that if we can provide more awareness, we can provide more differentiation and give more choices to the consumers, there will be consumers who will be making that conscious choice. And that amount of consumers who are making that conscious choice will only increase. What we are doing is to provide that effort to create the awareness and give that information to the consumer.
How are you giving them choice, though? It's not like the packaging amount is indicated when you buy an item, right?
For example, we do promote together with the brands on sustainable packaging products. We do have eco-friendly campaigns that are predicated towards products that are more sustainable in nature. Not only that, we give special vouchers and incentives for the customers to try out new products, especially also, for example, locally produced goods, locally produced vegetables as well. That does help. And also, it is at a higher standard in many ways. Providing that kind of excitement of the campaign, as well as that opportunity to make that choice, and also enticing them that this is not only a great deal, but also it's a great product for the environment. These are some of the things that we're working on to be able to make that awareness.
Sharon, are fussy buyers also part of this packaging problem? Because there are people who want to cut down on bubble wrap and layers of plastic. But then there are people who also complain and they want their items in pristine conditions. And they dispute over the goods and want refunds when not delivered on the exact date or there's a little nick in the box. So help us understand to what extent are consumer expectations key to cutting down packaging?
Consumers want whatever products that they get to be in the perfect condition. The sellers, they also try to package it nicely so that it appears in a well-packaged good condition to the consumers. The consumers feel that they're getting their money's worth. To be able to cut that down is actually quite difficult because your products may get damaged. If it doesn't look well-packaged, but consumers may not feel that they're getting a good deal.
Right, that's part of buying experience, right?
Exactly. So educating the consumers about the importance of maybe looking beyond the packaging is actually important. You think about in the offline world, when you go to a luxury brand, you buy holding that plastic bag, the paper bag is also a sign of status and people actually take great pride in that, right? The packaging itself means actually a lot to consumers. So I think to be able to educate the consumers would be a step one that, no, maybe we don't need to put so many things inside to protect as long as the product goes to you in good condition, it's good enough.
But what about the supply side? You talked about how you're working with various companies, L'Oreal, Unilever, to minimize packaging. Can there be limits on packaging laid down with sellers and even delivery care standards established with delivery firms so you don't need these huge amounts of packaging?
Going back to Redmart, because Redmart is a consolidated package delivered in a reusable plastic tote, we're able to minimize a lot of the packaging that goes through. Imagine ordering your groceries and coming in different pieces. That would have been tremendously bad for the environment, also very cumbersome for the consumers as well. So some of the ways that we do is to provide where we can inject ourselves into the supply chain, that we can provide that value add.
What does that mean, though, injecting yourself into the supply chain?
For example, across South Asia, about 80% of the parcel is touched by our team that is delivered to the consumers via fulfillment centers, sortation centers, and we're able to do co-packing, co-deliveries to minimize carbon footprint as well as some of the packaging waste as well. So these are kind of us injecting ourselves into the supply chain. But more importantly, creating that awareness and showcasing that to the consumers on making that right choice that fits their personal desires as well as their personal interests, I find it quite important. Because when we talk about sustainability, packaging or sustainably sourced goods are very portion of it. They're very diverse, different interests by the consumers on multiple layers. It's not just those two points, right? So being able to provide the information and create that awareness, I find it's something that e-commerce platforms should do. And it's good value add for the both consumers as well as the suppliers. Although it's not that easy though. For example, I remember on Redmart, we tried to do a healthy food campaign, and the definition of what is healthy and what is not healthy, given so many different certifications out there, so many different supplies and supply chain that are intermingled, be able to, as a platform, to fully govern that was very, very difficult exercise. Having more knowledge and transparency in the supply chain as technology developed, working also together with the regulators in terms of making that support with more confidence, and then playing our role, which is, you know, communication, outreach, we believe is something that we're going to continue to push our gas pedals on.
But apart from the packaging, one big source of carbon emissions would be last mile delivery, when many trucks or vans even run on diesel. So can online platforms, when you look at the total supply chain, realistically implement more sustainable logistics? And what should that look like in a couple of years?
One thing for sure, even in Lazada, across South Asia, we are switching more and more ICE vehicles into electric vehicles, electric trikes as well. The other thing that we're doing is, here in Singapore, as an example, when consumers choose a time slot for their delivery, we put a green flag, means there is a package or there is a delivery in your condo, in your area already. So if you choose that, it minimizes us to be able to go to the multiple places multiple times, and it helps that minimize the carbon emission as well. So those are small things that we do try to make that improvements. But I'm sure as the technology continues to evolve, there'll be more and more innovations that's going to dramatically impact and improve.
So Farron, it sounds like there's a lot done already on platforms and logistics. Should personal restraint from mindless consumerism be the key in reining in excessive buying? You think, listening to all this, people should know that they should buy less junk and maybe quit buying that fifth pair of socks because of a sale? Is that the key?
That would be the ideal state. There's some big research has shown that, for example, we cut down on straw, we cut down using plastic bags. The environmental impact is actually very minimal. The bigger picture is to actually reduce consumerism. So if we can convince ourselves that we shouldn't be defined by the materials we own and only buy what we need, I think the impact will be much, much greater. The path forward in general in getting the world to be more sustainable is to reduce consumerism. But as I said, we are all human. And in my previous article, I also said that the way the world is structured, the way businesses and governments and economies are structured is such that reducing consumerism might not necessarily be good for world economy or necessarily good for companies. So this is, again, another tension in a society that we have to manage. And I don't think the world has found a good way to manage that yet.
Both your take, especially starting with James, how important are signature sales like 11.11 to Lazada, and will that change in the years to come?
The total retail here in Singapore has not grown. We've seen a pretty stagnant, while the online portion of the overall retail has grown quite tremendously. From last year, July, it was only $260 million USD. This year, June, was more than $360 million USD already. But the overall share of the pie still remains relatively stable. But what these events do is these events create that excitement. These events also create that reason for the consumers to have their desires, things that they want, to really think about it, be able to collect into the cars, get the vouchers, and make that decisions where they'll get the best deal. At the same time, for many of the sellers and the brands to reach those consumers that are quite difficult to reach as well. What we try to do is we try to keep it as fresh as possible and as exciting as possible.
But James, how do you know that people are buying what they need? Because then a lot of the items that are on promotion might not be what they really need. And looking also at some of the items most sold by Lazada across Southeast Asia in recent years, include shawls, smartphones, and bags. What does a more sustainable Singles Day look like if not lower sales or fewer ads to tell people what's on offer?
So we measure a couple of things. One that we find quite exciting is that for the last number of years, we've seen the return rate come down dramatically. So that's the customers finding something that they are not satisfied, or it's not something that they wanted, or for some reason didn't meet the standards and returning that, which is very bad for both businesses, sellers, brands, as well as for the environment as well. And now it's a very, very low single digit. So that reduction means that we've done a great job to provide that information, do a good job of matchmaking, getting the right customers to the right products. So the more as we improve our technology and algorithm and using the big data, the best we can do is to provide the transparency and do a best job of matchmaking and creating that excitement where a consumer is able to, you know, find something that they desire at the affordable price and the one that they are very happy with after their purchases are made.
So Sharon, of course, consumers try to be good and buy goods made from, say, recyclable material in a bid to become more eco-friendly. Do you think some sort of a carbon labeling could promote sustainable consumption, as some have suggested, that we can still purchase the things we want without killing the earth? Do you think that such efforts would only subtract the guilt trip and serve to fuel more buying?
If you have carbon labeling, people would definitely be more conscious of the impact of their purchase on the environment. So yes, you're going to skew the behavior a little bit more towards buying green products, or at least greener products. So that piece, I have no doubt that will work. But as a whole, you're still buying though, right? You're still buying products. Now, whether it's a need or is that a want, is very hard for us to tell. But if you have a carbon label, you feel that you're doing good for the environment because you're buying a green product, and therefore, actually, it's a justifiable purchase. It may actually, on the flip side, it's a greater consumption. So whether that net off, I'm not sure, because that requires quite a bit of scientific test to see how much carbon footprint is going to be on each side. My sense is it's probably going to actually lead to greater consumption, which is in general not good for the environment. But the fact that if you really need to buy, it's better to buy something green than buy something not green.
And what's your take on what a more sustainable Singles Day look like?
Frankly, I don't really have a very good idea on that either, because this whole idea of promotion is to encourage people to buy. At least like what James said earlier, in terms of at least have a better match between what the consumer wants and what the platform is selling, hopefully reduce a little bit more of the return, so at least you have less of the returned carbon footprint. But that said, if you have a better match, people are more likely to buy more. I'm not sure there is necessarily a good sustainable way forward if we really want to encourage consumption through deals.
So can online shopping go green? Might it depend on consumers? Our Instagram followers think it does, with 53% saying they have plans to cut down on online shopping this year and urge others to buy only what they need. But quite a few also want businesses and producers to take responsibility to cut down waste too. This was Heart of the Matter. There was James Cheng, Lazada's Chief Business Officer, and Sharon Ng, Professor and Head of the Marketing Division at NTU Nanyang Business School. Now, if you like this episode and want to hear others, follow us on your favorite podcast app. You'll be able to catch up on episodes like our one-on-one interview with Grab Singapore Managing Director, Yiwi Tang, who we put in a hot seat on giving food deliverers full-time jobs, and our conversation with HR experts on why workers seem to be languishing amid a great resignation wave. Until next week, I'm Lin Su Ling with Crispina Robert, our podcast editor, and Erin Low, our research writer, signing off.